Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 77 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Logan Pemberton.
Yeah, it's moving along very quickly, and as the mayor has shared with us, he's hoping it'll be open sometime in September.
City Council members finally have a price tag for the new splash pad in downtown Moorhead.
Rowland County's clerk is hoping to win a second term in office.
The Moorhead Utility Plant Board says the recent increase in sewer rates is a necessary change.
U.S. Marshals have begun the process of seizing Eric C. Kahn's law complex.
Controlled drug buys led to multiple arrests in Boyd County.
In sports, the Lady Eagles are preparing for their first game of the season.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
A 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight with lows around 70 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Construction is ongoing for the new splash pad in downtown Moorhead. The City Council received an update on the $2.1 million project during Monday night's regular meeting. Councilmember Tom Carew says he doesn't expect the project to be complete in time for the city's Labor Day festivities.
It's moving along very quickly, and as the mayor has shared with us, hoping it'll be open sometime in September. I don't think it's going to be ready by Labor Day, and hopefully I'm not misspeaking. It's probably going to be a little bit later in the month.
Cost estimates for the splash pad include the purchase of the property. It should be noted that the splash pad will not occupy the entire 5 acres of land. Additional recreational attractions are in the works. City has secured community partner contributions of $275,000 to help pay for the project, and nearly $13,000 in corporate sponsorships.
Rowland County's clerk is on the campaign trail this fall, hoping to win a second term. Clerk Kim Davis is running as a Republican this term against Democratic hopeful Elwood Cottle Jr. Cottle currently works in the Rowland County Property Value Administrator's office. Davis spoke Wednesday at the new city's meeting in downtown Moorhead.
As I prepared for the 2015 budget, I estimated by prior year budgets that we would raise and divvy out more than $4.2 million in tax dollars. And we ended up collecting over $5.3 million, which was $700,000 more than in 2014, which was a big increase.
Davis says her office is self-sustaining and she hopes to continue serving as the county clerk. Election Day in Kentucky is November 6th.
A Rowland County Democrat is hoping to unseat the incumbent county clerk. Elwood Cottle Jr. is running against Republican Clerk Kim Davis, who has served one term. Cottle spoke with the new city's group on Wednesday, saying if elected, he would like to modernize the office with an app.
You know, you go to McDonald's or anywhere and you see the signs that says pull up here for the phone because you got the app. You know, maybe you can do that on there, and with my tablet, that can be shown that you're in that parking lot, or like Kroger pickup. I come out there, or my employees come out there, with that tag. Hey, I'm delivering your tags to you. Roll your window down.
Cottle says he also hopes to open the clerk's office for Saturday hours if elected. Election Day in Kentucky is November 6th.
Kentucky's Attorney General says it is okay for election officials to post a list of certified write-in candidates at polling places. The opinion from Democrat Andy Beshear's office could give a boost to at least 6 current and former teachers running as write-in candidates for the state legislature. In Kentucky, votes only count for write-in candidates if the candidate files a letter of intent by the fourth Friday in October with the Secretary of State or the county clerk. Election officials have trained poll workers to not post the list of certified write-in candidates for fear it would violate the state's ban on electioneering. But Beshear's office said posting the list would not break the law because the list would not advocate people to vote for or against a candidate.
Members of the Moorhead Utility Plant Board say the recent increase in sewer rates is a necessary change. The board raised the rates by 39%. MUPB Chairman Holly McGrath-Rosas says they are still waiting to receive funding from FEMA after the flood in 2010. She says even though she would like to see those funds as soon as possible, she understands why the wait is so long.
We were told that because the amount was so substantial, usually like anything over $1 million has to go through Congress and then back to Kentucky Emergency Management, and then they get back to us. This is actually kind of pretty standard for them, especially with such a huge amount.
McGrath-Rosa says on top of the FEMA funding delay, the sewage system has reached max capacity and desperately needs an expansion. She says without a rate increase to help pay for it, homes and manholes would overflow with sewage.
Governor Bevin says a majority of Kentucky's counties will be screwed if the new pension reform law fails. KNN's Haley Hansen reports.
Speaking in Louisville, Bevin said there, quote, might be a half dozen counties that would be able to afford to meet the pension obligation if the new law fails.
Those of you at the county level know how absolutely screwed you are, and that's about the most gracious word I can come with. How screwed you will be financially if, in fact, that lawsuit were to prevail.
Kentucky's Supreme Court will decide whether to invalidate the new law that makes changes to the pension system. I'm Haley Hansen.
Brady Industries has announced the hiring of a contractor for the construction of a $1.5 billion aluminum mill in Ashland. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, Brady has selected Kiewit to construct the mill, which is scheduled to become operational in 2020. Brady officials say the mill will employ 550 people, making an average annual salary of $70,000. The company's announcement today did not specify when construction will begin or if Kiewit will hire local workers.
This is the first week of classes for the men and women looking for a job at Brady Industries, the billion-dollar development in Greenup and Boyd counties. The Advanced Integrated Technology Program at Ashland Community and Technical College was designed specifically for Brady. Program coordinator Michael Tackett tells WSAZ the training covers a broad range of technical skills.
Students are coming in, going to learn about hydraulics, pneumatics, electrical, motor controls, programmable logic controllers, robotics. In 2 years, they are going to get filled with a wealth of knowledge.
The wide spectrum of skills will allow new employees to fill a variety of roles in operations, maintenance, or even administration, according to Tackett. At the end of the two-year program, students with a 3.0 GPA who have been drug-free and completed an internship program will start in the plant with a $65,000 salary plus benefits, according to Brady CEO Craig Bouchard.
We'll be back with more news right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market. 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays in downtown Moorhead on U.S. 60 near the City Park. The Rowan County Farmers Market offers homegrown fruits, vegetables, and baked goods, accepting WIC and Senior Farmers Market nutrition vouchers, and participating in the Community Farm Alliance Double Dollars program. Supporting local farmers, the Rowan County Farmers Market is Kentucky proud.
U.S. Marshals have begun the process of seizing Eric C. Kahn's law complex in Stanville. The former disability attorney has been sentenced to 27 years in prison in a case involving a multi-million-dollar Social Security fraud scheme and his escape from home detention. Marshals told WYMT the process may take up to a week to complete. They say they are making sure none of Kahn's old files are stolen.
Controlled drug buys have led to multiple arrests in Boyd County. WMKY's Naya Ndwaza has the story.
Timothy Smith and Jonathan Hughes were arrested and charged with two counts of first-degree trafficking in a controlled substance and one count of cultivating marijuana. The Daily Independent reports Tiffany Butler and Hannah Bayer were also arrested at the scene. Butler was arrested on a charge of first-degree possession of a controlled substance. Bayer had an active warrant for her arrest from Boyd District Court related to a misdemeanor theft case. Deputies located suspected drugs, paraphernalia, and approximately 9 marijuana plants on Smith's property, as well as a clear baggie containing a crystal-type substance in a book bag belonging to Butler. Bayer was transported to the Boyd County Detention Center, but as of Tuesday was no longer listed as an inmate. Smith, Hughes, and Butler are all lodged in the Boyd Jail. For WMKY News, I'm Naya Ndwaza.
An Estill County woman has been indicted on four felonies after being accused of leaving two children in a hot car. According to LEX 18, the incident happened in Richmond back in May. Police report witnesses heard two young kids screaming and sweating in a car. The temperature reportedly reached 137 degrees. 42-year-old Connie Arthur told officers she left the kids in the car because they were asleep and she didn't want to wake them. Arthur is charged with two counts of wanton endangerment and two counts of criminal abuse.
An Estill County soccer coach was fired Wednesday after allegations of rape and sending sexually explicit media to female students on Snapchat. 28-year-old Andrew Hatton of Irvine was arrested by Kentucky State Police Tuesday in Richmond. KSP tells the Lexington Herald Leader Hatton faces 5 counts of third-degree rape, 2 counts of prohibited use of an electronic device to procure a minor, 2 counts of possession of child pornography, and 3 counts of distribution of obscene matter to a minor. The Estill County school system initially put Hatton on leave after the allegations surfaced earlier this week. Their investigation's findings led to Hatton being fired, according to a statement Wednesday on the Estill County Board of Education's Facebook page.
A man was arrested after he refused to pull over for police and then defecated in the back of a cruiser. Paintsville police tell WSAZ they received calls Tuesday of a man in a green Dodge Challenger firing a gun in the air and later at a pickup truck. Police found the Challenger on U.S. 23 driving southbound. When they tried to pull the car over, Darren Jean Blankenship turned onto Middle Fork Road and then abruptly veered into a driveway where he came to a stop. After his arrest, police say Blankenship defecated twice in the back seat of a cruiser. He faces charges of wanton endangerment, fleeing or evading police, driving under the influence, menacing, resisting arrest, disorderly conduct, fourth-degree assault, and third-degree terroristic threatening.
A Lexington middle school teacher has been jailed on sexual abuse charges. WKYT reports Winburn Middle School choir teacher Thomas Stewart is lodged in the Fayette County Detention Center on a $30,000 bond. His arrest citation alleges Stewart would invite minors to his home. Fayette County Schools has placed Stewart on administrative leave as the investigation continues.
The judge in the McCaffrey animal cruelty case has ordered 21 dogs to be released to their owner. WMKY's Jack Cottle reports.
District Court Judge Rupert Wilhoit III made the order in the courtroom on Monday morning when Kevin McCaffrey and Kevin Stiltner, the alleged co-owner, were present to request the dogs to be released to Stiltner. Assistant County Attorney Jason Greer objected, saying there was no proof of ownership, the case was ongoing, and the animals are part of a criminal action the county is pursuing. McCaffrey and Stiltner expressed concern for the animals. Since being at the shelter, the men claimed the animals were dying due to a parvo infection. McCaffrey's attorney argued for the safety of the animals at the shelter. Davenport and McCaffrey believe releasing the animals to Stiltner would help relieve the county cost of caring for them. Wilhoit released the dogs to Stiltner as long as they are not with McCaffrey until he is found innocent or the case was dismissed. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Jack Cottle.
The Kentucky Community and Technical College System has received new grant funding to provide training for advanced technical careers. The new programs will take place at Hazard Community and Technical College, Southeast Kentucky Community and Technical College, and Big Sandy Community and Technical College. With industries like InnerBlue and Silverliner already moving to the area and other local leaders securing grants to upgrade industrial parks, Hazard Community and Technical College President and CEO Jennifer Linden tells WKYT she sees a bright future with everyone in a unified mindset.
It's so great that we're all working together. We have economic development agencies who are working to recruit business and industry and advanced manufacturing into the area. Then we have the colleges who are working together, the area technology centers and the high schools, to make sure that we get the type of training that we need so that folks will be ready for these skilled jobs.
The $2.5 million grant will come through the Economic Development Administration. Approximately 261 jobs will be created as a result of these new training programs.
Students are vulnerable targets for identity theft. That's why the Better Business Bureau wants to remind parents and students to be on the look for signs of fraudulent activity. Children's lack of credit histories make them particularly susceptible to having their identity stolen, and they may not find out until years later. BBB Director of Communications Heather Clary says children aren't the only ones who can be affected by identity theft, and that college students should also be on their toes.
This is the time that young people are starting out on their own. They are starting new credit histories for many of them, and this is the time to really stay on top of it and protect it. You're opening debit card or credit card accounts. Be very cautious in using them so that you don't get yourself into trouble. Don't lend it to someone. And it's not a bad idea to check your credit report.
Clary recommends strong passwords on electronic devices and important accounts to keep personal information safe.
taking a look at the weather for the WMKY listening area. Tonight, you can expect a chance of showers and thunderstorms, otherwise mostly cloudy skies with a low around 70 degrees and a chance of precipitation at 60%. Tomorrow, showers likely with possible thunderstorms, mostly cloudy skies with a high near 83 and a chance of precipitation at 70%. Tomorrow night, showers likely and possibly thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 68 and a chance of precipitation at 70%. And for your Saturday, showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm. Taking a look at the current temperatures, it is 82 degrees in Inez and Ashland, 78 degrees here in Moorhead, 76 degrees in Flemingsburg and in Lexington, and 74 degrees in Winchester.
On our feature segment this afternoon, an Olive Hill native has been named as the new Deputy Executive Director for the Kentucky Health Information Exchange. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins reports.
Andrew Bledsoe took up the position on March 26. He previously worked as Executive Director for the Kentucky Rural Health Information Organization. Bledsoe says it was an honor to join the KHIE team.
For a long time, I always admired the work of the organization, and I kind of had a feeling that this would be my next career choice or my next move, so I was thrilled when they approached me about the job.
Bledsoe says this isn't his first time working with the KHIE, though.
I had previously worked with Kentucky Health Information Exchange with my previous organization, the Northeast Kentucky Regional Health Information Organization, and so we were kind of collaboratively partners on several different initiatives. And so when this position came open early this year, they had approached me about the possibility of serving as the Deputy Executive Director.
Bledsoe says he already has some ideas in place for the organization.
2 days before I started, the Cabinet for Health and Family Services signed a contract with a new vendor for the health information exchange that we provide as a service. So my number one goal is to have a successful implementation of the new vendor, and that will be completed by next May. And so we're working through the transition now and making sure that we develop and are able to provide a service to the Commonwealth that is beneficial.
Bledsoe says the first order of business, however, was familiarizing himself with the team.
For the first couple of months, I really focused on getting to know the services of the organization, the staff, and we have a phenomenal team here, and I feel very lucky and blessed to get to work with them. And then kind of my next task was to go out and meet some of the constituents that we work with, some of the hospitals and the doctor's offices, and really get a good feel of their perception of the organization, and again, utilize that as we develop the new technology that we'll be rolling out next summer.
From past experiences, Bledsoe says he feels qualified for the task at hand.
I feel like I have a good pulse on the rural healthcare landscape. With my previous job, I worked primarily with rural doctors' offices and hospitals, and as a board member to the Kentucky Rural Health Association, I feel like I'm in touch with a lot of the rural healthcare needs and some of the issues facing rural healthcare providers.
For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
448 and 77 degrees here in Moorhead. I'm Jacob Lindberg here with Logan Pemberton, and we're glad you tuned in on this Thursday afternoon. WMKY's Leanne Akers has sports right after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company in Lexington and Mount Sterling and online at ruthhuntcandy.com. Recognizing the importance of preserving arts and culture, the Ruth Hunt Candy Company proudly supports the Gateway Regional Center for the Arts in Mount Sterling, showcasing a variety of music, theater, visual arts, and dance for the Gateway region. More information on events at the Gateway Regional Center for the Arts is online at grackentucky.com.
Two Eagles teams are gearing up for their season's openers. For WMKY Sports, this is Leanne Akers. The Lady Eagles are preparing for their first exhibition game of the season. Coach Jamie Gordon's Eagles will host Bellarmine tomorrow at 6 p.m.
So this is just an opportunity for us to get out and kind of start working some of our systems and see how some of the young players respond and, without being over concerned about who you're playing and anything like that. So it's just an opportunity to have a kind of a step up from practice before we really get into the meat of the season.
The official Eagles season opener will be next Friday. The Lady Eagles host St. Francis Brooklyn at 11 a.m. The high school volleyball season is underway in the Bluegrass. Rowan County played host to Raceland for their season opener on Tuesday night, taking a 4-0 sweep of the Lady Rams. The Valkyries have been on a week break before they'll host Holy Family next Thursday. Wes Carter has two straight wins over Bath County and Ashland Blazer. They host Cross County rival East Carter tonight. East has four wins under their belts going into tonight's matchup. They open the season with wins over Montgomery, Morgan, Greenup, and Bath Counties. And speaking of Bath County, they'll host Montgomery County tonight. The Lady Cats will be looking for their first win of the season. The Morehead State University soccer team travels to Akron tomorrow night for their season opener against the Kangaroos. The Eagles are coming off two preseason games. They were able to secure a 5-0 win over Marshall University, but fell to Louisville's Lady Cards on Saturday 4-0. Head coach Warren Lipka says the team is ready to get the season rolling.
First game of the season, what we're looking at is just a starting point. We had a pretty fair preseason with results. We came out of it with no injuries. You know, we're just looking to get into the real match now and see where we're at.
The Eagles head to Pittsburgh on Sunday for a 1 p.m. matchup. The Kentucky women's soccer team has been selected for three nationally televised matches by the networks of ESPN. It was announced today. Kentucky's home match on August 26 versus Wisconsin and September 13th match at Missouri to open the Southeastern Conference season will both be shown live on the SEC network. Kentucky's trip to two-time defending league champion South Carolina on September 24th will be televised live on ESPNU. In addition, all of Kentucky's home games for the 2018 season and road conference matches will be streamed live on the SEC Network Plus, the ESPN app, and online at ESPN.com. Kentucky's season gets underway at 7:30 p.m. on Friday night at the Bell Soccer Complex in Lexington against Southern Illinois University Edwardsville. The game can be seen live on the SEC Network and the ESPN app. In high school soccer action, the Rowan County Viking soccer team heads to Montgomery County tonight at 7:30 p.m. The boys in green are coming off two wins this week. They took down Menifee on Monday in their season opener at home, 9-1, and beat Bourbon County on the road on Tuesday, 3-2. The Vikings will host the Sayre Spartans on Saturday. Game time is set for 6 p.m. In other area boys soccer action, Fleming County hosts Paris tonight at 6. West Carter hosts Russell. East Carter hosts Ashland Blazer. And Bath County heads to St. Patrick. The Lady Vikings play host to Model tonight in their season opener. West Carter heads to Menifee County. East Carter travels to Ashland Blazer. And Paris hosts Bath. The Bengals are gearing up for their second preseason game on Sunday night. Cincinnati won its opener against the Chicago Bears and is looking to build on that success as it moves closer to the regular season opener. 9-year defensive end Carlos Dunlap says this year's team has the playmakers to be successful.
We've had, you know, experienced guys who've played quality football for years, but right now I feel like we got a 1A and a 1B of guys who can make those game-breaker type plays. That's going to, you know, pay off big.
The Bengals will take on the Dallas Cowboys in Week 2 preseason action. Kickoff on Saturday night is 7 p.m. The UK basketball Wildcats come back to the Bluegrass fresh off a 4-0 trip to the Bahamas. The team notched wins over the Bahama national team, San Lorenzo, Mega BMAX, and Team Toronto. Even though they went undefeated, head coach John Calipari says his team struggled at points during the trip, and that's a good thing.
What I liked is we started the game and couldn't make a shot, and they come back and get it to four, and there's some adversity. You need adversity. It's the only way you can really learn.
The Wildcats will open their preseason with an exhibition matchup at home against Transylvania University on October 26th. They will then take on Indiana University of Pennsylvania before opening regular season play in Indianapolis at the State Farm Champions Classic against the Duke Blue Devils. The Cincinnati Reds dropped the final game of their three-game series against Cleveland Wednesday night, losing by a score of 4-3, giving the Indians the series sweep. Reds pitcher Robert Stevenson gave up two earned runs and walked four batters in just an inning and two-thirds. The minor league call-up talked about his disappointing performance after the game.
The way I pitched tonight was unacceptable. Can't happen. I had a really hard time getting a grip on the ball, and as much as I don't want to give an excuse, and that's just the honest gut truth, and you know, obviously I'm going to have to do something to figure out a way in between starts to be able to figure it out and be able to throw more balls in the zone.
The Reds got off to a hot start, scoring all three of their runs in the first inning, but Stevenson and the bullpen couldn't hang on to the lead. The team is off today and will begin the final three-game series of its homestand tomorrow night against the San Francisco Giants. In other MLB news, the Mets are battling the Phillies this afternoon with a second game scheduled tonight at 7:35. Other games tonight include the Cubs and the Pirates, the Nationals and the Cardinals, and the Rockies and the Braves. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagles soccer and football season tickets are now available. Soccer has 7 home games, including their home opener with Ball State on August 26th. Football has 6 home games and hosting Mount St. Joseph on September 8th. You can get more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks closed higher on renewed hopes that a resolution to a trade dispute with China could be on the horizon. Investors also cheered strong quarterly results from Walmart and Cisco Systems. And at the close, the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 396.32 at 25,558.73. The S&P 500 was up 22.32 at 2840.69, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 32.41 at 7806.52. National Economic Council Director Larry Kudlow confirmed that China and the U.S. will hold a fresh round of trade talks later this month, and this gave investors hope that the two world's largest economies can solve an ongoing trade spat. And shares of Boeing and Caterpillar, two bellwethers for global trade, rose 4.3% and 3.2% respectively. Both companies get a large share of their revenue from outside the U.S., so their stocks are highly sensitive to trade-related news. Stocks did get a really big boost from strong Walmart quarterly earnings, as the results sent Walmart shares surging almost 10% after the company reported its biggest jump in U.S. sales in a decade. The surge led Walmart to contribute about 60 points to the actual movement of the price-weighted Dow average today, and also Walmart results lifted shares of Target, which gained 1.7%. Cisco Systems also reported better-than-expected earnings, sending its stock up 3%. The company's results got a boost from an income surge from segments like cybersecurity and applications. In the commodities markets, oil is up 0.7%, finishing at $65.48 a barrel. Overseas in Europe, stocks got a good lift today from the news about the China trade situation, with the stock 600 up 0.5%. In Asia, stocks were weak because, of course, their trading day came before the news about the renewed trade talks with China. The Shanghai Composite was down 0.8%, and the Hang Seng Index was down 0.8%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Walmart and Boeing, while the worst performers were Intel and Disney. In the S&P 500, once again, Walmart the best performer there, along with Symantec. And your worst performers in the S&P 500 were Chipotle and NetApp. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 74 cents at 84.55, CSX up 28 cents at 73.44, AEP up 58 cents at 72.35, Marathon Petroleum down 48 cents at 76.70, AK Steel up 17 cents at 4.25, and Community Trust Bank was up 80 cents to finish at 49.90. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking another look at the weather for tonight, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy skies with a low around 70. Chance of precipitation is 60%. And tomorrow, showers are likely with possible thunderstorms, mostly cloudy skies with a high near 83 and a chance of precipitation at 70%.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Leanne Akers, Joe Lewis, Naya Andwaza, Chaz Jenkins, Jack Cottle, and Kyle Blankenbuehler. Hilliard Lyons Bud Luke with your stock report. And our feature segment came from WMKY's Chaz Jenkins. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Logan Pemberton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.